You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
So what made all the difference in getting rid of the speaker and then Ethel Trollope is, of course, the fact that DA councillor, should I say former DA councillor, Mbulelo Manyati, in fact abstained, and that allowed the opposition coalition or cooperative partners to be able to get rid of the speaker and also to get rid of the mayor and replace the mayor with a new mayor, with the UDM's Bongameli Bobani. And I want to try my best to make you understand what has been going on here, but I also want to interview a couple of the folks involved. So let's see whether we can firstly speak to Mbulelo Manyati and whether we have a nice clear line there. Mbulelo, good morning to you and welcome to the Eusebius Mokhaiser Show.
Good morning to you and good morning to all the listeners.
Mbulelo, what happened? Why did you plot against the Democratic Alliance, your home?
I don't understand you when you say I plotted. All I know is the Democratic Alliance has a policy that says you can use your own conscience and vote according to your conscience. That is exactly what I applied. Remember the story of Delil. Delil did the very the councillors in Cape Town that did the very same thing to Delil. And they had never been crucified. So I totally disagree with you when you are saying I had plotted against the DA. I did not. I am still the member of the DA, but on those motions, I said, and I'm still saying, I will vote not in favor of the DA. So it's not plotting.
Okay. Talk us through your conscience. Your conscience maybe has a mind of its own. What did your conscience tell you, and what was your conscience's logic for abstaining?
Abstaining is equal to raising your hand. I chose not to raise my hand in favor of the A, and I chose not to raise my hand and in favor of the Black Caucus.
Yeah, that's clear as mud to me. Why did you abstain?
I abstained because of my conscience. You must, this question you ask me now, I will ask you to ask it at the DA's office. What do they mean when they talk about conscience? They will tell you, not me.
But, I mean, if we take the speaker, for example, if the question before you is, do you have faith in the speaker or do you have faith in Ethel Trollope? Abstaining is as good as saying, I do not have faith in this person, when you know abstaining can make the difference between that person being retained in their position and them losing their position. Why didn't you help out the DA members to retain their position?
Let me be frank now, ne?
I wanted you to be frank from the first word.
Yeah, I'm going to be frank now. The DA is not ready. Let me put it bluntly. It is not ready to govern. A white man's culture is not the same as a black man's culture. Remember, people in South Africa, blacks are on the majority. Apple can speak Xhosa, but it doesn't mean that they understand our cultures. I'll make a simple example. Apple will allow this young boy who's dealing with budget to cut off electricity of our mother, even my own son. My dear son, who is a little cut off because he owes municipality 50 rand. Then if your car is cut off, you must also go and pay 350. You see? You must pay 350 to a poor person. So they say they care about the poor. They don't. Go to the streets of the township.
Okay.
There is sewerage all over. No, listen. There are sewerage all over. Pipe, read the errors of yesterday. On the front page, there are leaks on the street. On the street, water is leaking. It's not being attended to. You see, problem with storage, electricity as well. We always cut off in the townships. That is the reason why I decided not to vote in favor of it. It was, they are not ready. Because let me put it this way. The white supremacy still exist within the DA.
White what? Sorry, I just want to get...
The white supremacy. Whites think that they are better than the blacks. That's in South Africa. I'm born and bred here. The whites of South Africa think they are better than blacks. I'm talking about the majority of them, including us all. You see?
So if the DA is a primacy of white supremacists, including Ethel, what were you doing there in the first place? Are you a self-hating black?
I'm a what?
Do you hate yourself as a black person? Ufunantonpa, why were you there the whole time? If these guys were racist all along, what were you doing there? It was convenient when there wasn't a DC process potentially over your head because of the fraud charges. Ne? Now that the DC processes are lurking, it's convenient to play the race card.
No. This has nothing to do with my case. It has nothing to do with the AC. It has nothing to do with the DA. It has something to do with me. You see? There's nothing to do. You know what? When I arrived at the DA, I asked Mabapanga, how on earth do you choose a white man to be the mayor of this metro? I asked him because I was surprised. I said, no, not this time. But no, we don't deal with color here. But racism exists within the DA. It do. You'll be surprised if you can interview some other councillors of the DA, they will tell you, especially in the northern area, they're not happy.
Okay.
They are totally not happy.
Okay, let me ask you this, because what you're saying doesn't really make sense to me in terms of the logic. If the DA is a party of white supremacists, and if the white man is in charge and the white man hates black people in the townships of Ebai, why are you a member of the DA? Why don't you resign? Have you resigned?
I thought I'm going to make a change, but my friend has resigned. Myself, I'm not going to run the same boat. He resigned. I said I'm not going to resign. I want to make sure that the DA doesn't govern. Yeah, it must remain in opposition. They are good in the opposition to lift up the weaknesses of the ANC. They are right. They can do that job.
Mbulelo, do you understand how weird and even pathetic it sounds to say this party is a white supremacist party? I'm a black person. Yeah. I don't like their racism, but I am a member and I'm not going to resign. I mean, really? If you think this party hates black people, why are you a member of the party?
I thought I'm going to make a change. Remember, I told you so. I thought I'm going to make a change when I'm inside. But I'm realizing that it's not easy to make a change within the DA. It's not easy.
Okay, now that you have come to the conclusion that you cannot make a change, are you intending to resign?
No, well, remember, we are still fighting inside. That is another way of fighting this bad tendency.
So what is the strategy inside, given that you have now told us that it's very hard to change the party on the inside? What is the next strategy to try and change it?
The whites arrived in South Africa about 350 years ago. Blacks have been fighting that for 350 years ago. Eventually, in 1994, we managed to emancipate ourselves in 1994. So I still have hope. I will continue making some changes inside.
But you are isolated now. The party has written a letter to say that, in fact, there is a vacancy because you...
And I can do something right there before you even... Do you know that MM, municipal manager, have retracted that yesterday. They have changed that yesterday. Take my word and keep it. At 10 o'clock, the new mayor, Bobani, is going to meet him together with the other MMs tonight. Today, actually, at 10 o'clock, there's a meeting.
Look, the bottom line is, here's the bottom line, Mbulelo, okay? There may be some technicality in terms of how that vacancy needs to be declared by the IEC, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's also going to be there will be, and you're the politician here, so you understand how politics work. There's going to be a parallel political process inside the DA. Obviously, they are now going to use their own constitution. They're going to look at your behavior, and they're going to proceed to discipline you and try and get rid of you. Why would you even want to stay? I mean, how are you going to respond to the party saying that you Mbulelo, you'll get a chance to respond, Baba. Please listen to my question very carefully. Don't jump while I'm speaking. The DA's view is that you have effectively, kind of like Patricia DeLille on my show, that you have effectively already indicated to the public your intention to no longer be a member. How do you respond to that?
I don't have any comment on that one. But I'm saying to you, I'm still a member of the DA.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there. It doesn't make sense to me. You accuse them of racism, but you are staying there. Last question to you. Is it true that you are still potentially facing... What has happened to the fraud charges in the Port Elizabeth commercial crimes where you appeared for allegedly, and I'm not sure, tell me the facts here, colluding with your son, I think it is, and some sort of doctor, Lucky Swarbay. What has happened to that case?
Well, that is actually in November. It's set for four different occasions with no sufficient evidence. So it was going to be cancelled, né, on the fourth occasion. But most unfortunately, the magistrate who sits there was upset. So it has to be transferred now to the 9th of November because there is no sufficient. So far as I know, there were no sufficient evidence.
But your name hasn't yet been cleared in law. That process must still run its course.
Even the mayor himself is going to law to the court every day. Did you ever ask him to explain, even to court, even last month?
Yeah, I have, and I will ask him again. Right now we're talking about you. Right. Your name has not been cleared in law, has it?
No, it has not.
So here's my last question to you. Isn't what really is going on here? I want you to respond to this allegation from some DA members. Some people think the only reason why you abstained yesterday is not because you're a champion for black people's rights. It's because you were scared. Hold on. I'm telling you what the word is in the party, and I want you to respond to this view. That, in fact, the only reason why you were abstaining and thereby helping to get rid of, effectively, the speaker and the mayor, is because you were scared that the DA's internal processes were coming for you because of these criminal charges hanging over your head.
No. Take my word, no. You know what? Can I tell you something that the DA doesn't understand? DA is busy recruiting the young boys from the university. They are not staying here in PE. 80% of the black counselors don't stay here in PE. How on earth are you going to service people that you do not know? DA does not take us serious. Now, the DA expects us to take our activists, the poor black women and men who reside in the metro, to do door-to-door for them. But they only appoint the young boys from Buswa, from East London, from wherever, Transkei, they must come and become counselors here.
Mm.
And you know what? What we intend to do, this new leadership, they will make sure that even people who have been employed by municipality reside here.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons. I want people who stay here in PE. We've got a problem here in PE. They must go back, get a job, not people from outside.
Okay. Mbulelo, just because I've got to move on my show, but I wonder whether you can just help me out, right? I've got, my dad lives in PE. My dad doesn't know who he should vote for next year. Should he vote for the DA next year? What would be your advice? Should people vote for the DA?
Well, you remember I said that I had used my conscience as well, né, when I take that decision.
Yeah, tell us your conscience. You can't help what your conscience says most. Does your conscience say you must vote for the DA? Should people vote for the DA next year?
No. Your father has been voting for the DA. Why do you ask me that question? Because your father has been voting for the DA.
Okay, listen, I'm being playful here, but if you want me to be blunt, I'm asking you, as Mbulelo, will you be voting for the DA next year, yes or no?
Yes, sir, I'll be voting for the DA next year.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Have a nice day.
Shop.
702 and Cape Talk. Open line.
Also on the line now is the DA's Eastern Cape chairperson, Andrew Whitfield. Andrew, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Isidus. Thanks for having me, and good morning to your listeners.
My apologies if it sounded like you were listening to a Monty Python skit. We were actually talking serious politics, or attempting to. Now, just to set the record straight, from the DA's point of view, as a matter of law, what is the position? The gentleman I just spoke to, is he a DA member, and is he a DA councillor?
Thanks, Eusebius. The former councillor, Victor Mbulelo Manyati, received a letter of termination of membership yesterday. As far as we're concerned, we have ceased his membership, and that was on the basis of his public declaration, not, in my view, of even intent, but simply a public declaration stating that he is leaving the DA. His words were, "I'm leaving the DA." And that was the basis upon which the federal executive then took a decision to terminate his membership.
And so what are the implications for the way in which his vote appeared in yesterday's proceedings in council?
So, as you know, a councillor, a list councillor in particular, but councillors represent political parties, and by terminating the councillor's membership, in our view, he ceases to be a member of that council. The city manager concurred in the meeting, declared the vacancy, and ultimately adjourned the meeting. So as far as we're concerned, Victor or Mbulelo Manyati wasn't a councillor once he had his membership terminated.
So let's just go back. His precise wording was what?
His precise wording in an interview with a journalist during a brief recess after the removal of the speaker, he was asked the question, "Will you be leaving the DA?" And he said, "Yes, I'm leaving the DA." That recording was by an SABC journalist. It was published across social media, on Twitter in particular, and that was an unequivocal declaration that he is, in fact, resigning from the DA.
Okay, but you know that the jury is still out, not quite the jury, but the law on how to interpret that kind of wording and the clause that occasioned invoking it in relation to Patricia Dalil on this particular show. So what case precedent are you relying on to say that even if you are quoting accurately what Mr. Manyati had told a journalist, that amounts as a matter of law to him, thereby declaring a vacancy inadvertently? You know that this is not settled in law.
So the provincial executive never made the decision. This is a decision of the federal executive.
I know, that's why it's a little bit awkward for you, but I would ask them the same question. Whether it was James, John, whoever I'm speaking to, the bottom line is, in law, this particular question, as you know, remains open.
And Mbulelo Manyati has challenged that. He's taken legal advice on the matter, and his lawyers are dealing with the matter. And the outcome of that will then have to be tested in whichever platform it needs to be tested. As far as we're concerned, he acted in contravention of the rules of the party, and his membership was terminated.
Okay, but you do appreciate that that does not necessarily mean that Ethel Trollope was unlawfully removed overall, that there wasn't a quorum necessarily, because all of this will hinge on your legal team being able to win that argument that is still a live argument, even in the Patricia matter. And there, of course, the need to settle it in court was obviated by a political agreement. So for all we know, Mr. Manyati could in law still be a member of the party and of the council, because all of that is going to hinge on legal action.
I think the one thing we can agree on, Eusebius, is it's going to be a very interesting couple of weeks ahead of us legally. And the one element that isn't being discussed in too much detail is the fact that the MEC seconded an official from COCTA to preside over the election of a speaker while the municipal manager was available to preside. The MEC never contacted the municipal manager, to my knowledge, and on that basis, the election of the speaker and the subsequent election of the mayor and the mayoral committee, appointment of the mayoral committee, could also then be challenged.
But the latter was okay. So this I really want to understand. So it seems to me that there are two legal arguments here before we go to our news break. But this really matters because this is news breaking. One is to challenge whether or not the sitting was properly quorated. A second is whether the presiding officer lawfully should have been the presiding officer. Let's start very briefly with the second one. What is your legal beef with the process in relation to the presiding officer?
The presiding officer was the municipal manager in the first instance.
Yes.
Section 36, I think it's 36(3) of the Structures Act says that the municipal manager of the municipality, or if the municipal manager is not available, a person designated by the MEC for local government in the province presides over the election of the Speaker.
Okay.
Now, in our view, the municipal manager was available. The MEC circumvented the office of the municipal manager. It's not as though this municipal manager was removed. He was there. He was available and could have received an instruction from the MEC to return to council to preside. But the municipal manager, acting as the presiding officer, adjourned the meeting. And that is equally critical. The meeting was adjourned before the MEC seconded an official from COCTA to preside.
And who was that official?
I think it's Jenny Rostroff.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
So was Jenny the presiding officer during which vote?
During the vote of the speaker, to appoint a speaker.
Oh, I see. So the fact that speaker that was then appointed, who is Johan Mettler, then also presided over the vote in relation to Ethel, your legal argument will be that the genesis of how Johan got into that seat was unlawful because the process whereby Johan was elected to that position was itself unlawful.
No, sorry, Eusebius. The municipal manager, Johan Mettler, becomes the presiding officer when the speaker is removed. Okay, that's the first part. Johan Mettler then adjourned the meeting. After the meeting was adjourned, the NEC seconded an official, Ms. Rostroff, to come and preside over the council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That appointment by the NEC, I believe, is highly irregular because the municipal manager is available in the city. We have a municipal manager.
And the vote about Ethel's fate happened under the watch of that person, not under Johan.
Seconded official.
Okay,
correct, yeah.
Okay. So that's going to be the linchpin of the legal strategy that you will have here then.
Well, I think it raises a very interesting legal opportunity, and it's certainly something that's being explored.
Just a final question, then we really must move on with the show. I mean, I can talk politics the whole day. You know, we've spoken now firstly about Manyati. We've spoken now to you about this process. At some point this hour, we're going to speak to the new mayor. He thinks he's the new mayor. But not in all of this discussion, the residents of PE don't figure. In the meantime, the challenges of the city continue. Will you agree with me that the real losers yesterday are the residents of PE and surrounding areas?
Well, in particular, if you look at this corrupt coalition that's been cobbled together, Eusebius, I honestly would agree with you that in many instances, due to political dysfunction, we have a situation where the residents of a city are left wanting in many instances.
Sure.
However, the administration remains able to deliver. It has delivered on a number of indicators, including the removal of bucket toilets, including building up cash reserves of 2 billion rand and delivering EPWP jobs, etc. But our councillors are back at work today. They're in their offices, and I think it will be very interesting to see what the municipal manager says today.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Cheers. That was Andrew Whitfield, DA Eastern Cape chairperson.
702 and Cape Talk, open line.
20 minutes before 10, also joining me the line now is Mongameli Bobani. Can I call you mayor?
Yes, the new executive mayor of Nelson Mandela Bay.
It's very confusing to us, you know, the average Joe executive mayor, because you guys are fighting. And while you are fighting, what's happening to service delivery in PE? I mean, this new coalition that you are now in charge of, what do you want to say in terms of how it will proceed? Because while the horse trading is happening, the political infighting is happening, it's often the citizens and the residents of Nelson Mandela Metro Bay that are the ones who become pawns in this fight between political parties?
Well, the DA should answer about why, when they were in charge, the Nelson Mandela residents cannot get our services. We, as the collective opposition parties, we've been crying that they are failing to deliver the services to the people of Nelson Mandela Metro. That is the reason why we end up submitting a motion of a vote of no confidence to them, because the residents have lost confidence in them. And what we are going to do right now as collective, the people of Nelson Mandela Metro are so happy that it is a new administration, political administration that is taking over. We assured them that they are going to get the best services they had. The DA did try, but they couldn't actually do and provide to them the services. So they must answer to the residents why the residents didn't get the services as they promised that they would give them the services.
Okay, the DA is going to outline a legal and, well, not so much the political strategy. They'll keep that under wraps, but they will outline something of the legal strategy today to challenge your election because they don't think that it is lawful. And I just want to walk you through it. And I've heard you on a couple of platforms, including with my colleague Karima Brown last night. But I want to spell out to you in a little bit of detail what that challenge might look like, Mr. Bobani, and I want your first response to it because I've got some idea of what the DA's strategy will look like. The first argument that the DA is making goes as follows, that the presiding officer that was presiding over the process that led to the vote of no confidence in the previous mayor, Ethel Trollope, ought not to have been presiding after, in fact, the speaker had adjourned. What do you say to that argument? Is it sound in law?
Look, firstly, they were challenging the councillor Magnati, whilst the council was in session, conducted by the municipal manager. The DA, a party, brings a letter in the council. Where have you ever heard about that, Yusufas? A party writes a letter to the council whilst the council in session, expelling the councillor. Now that they see that doesn't hold water in terms of their legal argument. Now they shift now the blame to the presiding officer that was actually conducting the proceedings there. Let me just tell you that I'm not going to get into much more technicalities into the whole thing around the session of the meeting because that might be an argument that might be used when they actually challenge us in court. But all I can say is that I can assure you that everything went perfectly in accordance with the law and in accordance with the law and in accordance with the Structures Act. And if they want to go to court, we are more than ready. We are ready for them.
Okay, but let's...
We are ready for them.
No, I know you're ready. I can hear the war talk. It's lovely. It's beautiful rhetoric. But here, we like to be very precise on this show, sir. So can we just slow it down? Who was the presiding officer that was in charge of the process that led to that vote of no confidence against Ethel Trollope?
I can't hear you.
Who presided over the vote of no confidence against Ethel Trollope?
The official has been sent by the MEC of COGTA, and the name of the official is Penny. So the official is coming from COGTA.
And her name is Penny. Her surname is not Sparrow by any chance. No, that's just an aside. So
okay.
The law tells us under what circumstances the speaker can be replaced by the person elected by the MEC of COGTA. And one of those criteria, for example, just listen to me, Mr. Bobani, I know that you're happy to go to court, but I want to be precise here about what you will say in court, because the DA is going to say in court the following. They're going to say the law says the speaker can be replaced by someone seconded by the MEC only if A, the speaker is not present or incapacitated, and neither of those two conditions were fulfilled.
Look, the arguments that are going to happen in court, I'm not going to dwell too much onto it. All I can tell you that on our side, Yusufas, we have done everything in accordance with the law, and everything that had happened there, it is actually official. So if they are the ones that are saying that no, we are having a problem on 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Let them go to court and let the court will then prove. But I can tell you that on our side, we have done our calculations. We have done everything in accordance with the law. Now, the technicalities around whether this official was right, the official was wrong and whatever, that argument, it will be argued in court. But on our side, as a collective, We are telling you, Mr. Boss, that everything and the pieces of legislation have been met.
So why didn't Speaker Johan Mettler preside over that process?
I can't hear you.
Why did Johan Mettler not preside over that process?
Johan Mettler left the meeting, not adjourning the meeting, left the meeting by going and take another legal advice. And after that, Johan Mettler write to us a message to say that he had heard to say that Councillor Manyathi, to declare vacancy in the place of Councillor Manyathi. He said he had heard. And then he said to us that the meeting is going to be reconvened again the next day. And then we told Mr. Mettler, no, you can't do that because the meeting is in session. It's in session, so the meeting has to continue. So the communication thereafter between Mr. Mettler and the NEC, we need them. But what had happened is that the NEC then sent that particular official, and then the official, in his official capacity, with regard to the law, she is qualified, she can do the job, she's coming from COGTA. Mr. Boss, the NEC should be concerned. Everyone should be concerned. If the council doesn't have the speaker, you can't allow a situation whereby you're going to have a train without the head. So the NEC had to ensure that there must be a person that is presiding over that particular meeting. So the argument, to say that official is not supposed to be there and whatever, that argument, they can actually argue that in court, and then we'll defend that in court. But according to on our side, we have done everything according to the law in order to remove the DA and ensure that we're putting the coalition government that is going to deliver the best services.
I just got a final question for you, Mr. Bobane. I understand your logic. I think the problem that you will face, and I wonder whether you've spoken to your lawyers yet, is that it is not clear that when Johan Mettler says, let's continue tomorrow, that means that he is incapacitated.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Because he has to be incapacitated to justify the NEC's official presiding.
No. What I'm saying to you, Sebas, the communication between the office of the NEC and the official that was there, and also Mr. Johan Mettler, we cannot actually interfere into that particular conversation amongst them. So all we know on our side is that this particular matter, everything went accordingly, and whatever the DA is challenging, we are saying right now we are ready for it. Okay. It will be answered in court, but we have followed all the necessary processes.
Mm. Thank you, sir. All the best. Thanks for coming on my show.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.